Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers.
Hello and welcome to the C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from the language industry in the hot seat. My name is Eddie Arrieta, and I am the head of growth here at Multilingual Media.
And I am Laszlo Varga, and senior consultant and researcher at NIMS Insights. And today in our hot seat, we have Jan Cizmar, the founder and CEO of Tolgi. Hello, Jan. Lovely to have you.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Just to begin with, in one sentence, tell us, what does Tolgi do?
Tolgi is a tool for software developers or software developing teams to make localization easy for them.
Thank you. And what was the first career that you dreamed of as a kid?
Yeah, I actually wanted to be an entrepreneur, as I realized from my, like, since I was 6 years old, when we played in the bushes around my home. And I actually wanted to build a company to build such bunkers, which we were building in the bushes. And actually, my brother even started a website for me when I offered such bunkers. But unfortunately, I haven't acquired a single client. So that's a sad story. But it was my first failure as an entrepreneur.
That is great. And when you're not failing as an entrepreneur or succeeding as an entrepreneur, what do you do for fun? How do you spend your time?
I'm running every morning and I'm going to gym. So that's how I spend my mornings. And I'm not working, so in the afternoons I try to do something productive. So I read. I'm trying to not watch that many series or television, but I sometimes do that, because when I need to turn off my brain, that works. And during weekends I do paragliding, which I started to do last year, which is pretty funny, and you really can like switch to something pretty different than the work. And if I'm not paragliding because there is no wind, then I'm probably on some trip with my fiance and my dog.
You know, if we give you a magic wand and you're given the opportunity to visit three different countries, which countries would you visit and why?
So first would be probably Alaska in America, United States, because the country is beautiful. At least from the pictures, so I would like to, or the state is beautiful, the mountains. Then I would like to go to India, because the culture looks pretty different and interesting, and they have pretty great food, which we know from the Indian restaurants, but I never ate the original, so that's another one. And finally, Brazil, because I never been to South America. They have monkeys, at least it was in The Simpsons, so Brazil would be pretty interesting too.
Awesome. We'll welcome you with open arms in Latin America. One last question from me, and I'm very curious about this one now. What's the best piece of advice that you've been given in your career, history, life?
I think it's like do less than the competition. It's from the book Rework by Jason Fried and David Hansen. And it's pretty interesting, because I think like many entrepreneurs like start to catch their competition pretty hard, and that's super hard to do that, because you never can catch everything they have. They have probably more money, more clients, and everything. So you should probably try find your niche and go for that. So that's the advice I'm trying to repeat to myself when I'm trying to force my team to add new features to Tolgi, which no one actually required. So I'm trying to focus on that.
Fantastic. So now perhaps we know you a little bit better personally. Maybe we can ask some more serious questions as well. You're a developer at heart. What brings you to the language industry? What brings you to starting a business with us?
Yeah, I had this problem when I was a developer, because a few years ago I worked on a software development project. We were developing an pretty large app for lawyers. There was like super many localization keys, and the localization process was pretty painful for me as a developer. When we add new localization key, it was always like super painful for me as a developer to actually translate it. And the problem was that there were no possibility to delegate the task to other team members. And I wanted to create a tool which enables my team to actually delegate the task to our team members. But at that time, it wasn't possible because the people who actually modified the localization data had to be able to work with versioning systems like Git. And that was the problem. So I wanted to create a tool which makes this possible for them to modify the data. So that was the reason why I started to work on TollG.
Right. And when did you realize that there's actually business in this?
I think we know that from the beginning because the localization market is huge. There is like every company developing some app which is B2C or targeting to foreign markets like need to be localized because otherwise the people wouldn't actually understand. So you know that, and so we know that there is huge potential to do that get some serious money from them because there is a need in the market. So
you're probably right. There is need for localization in almost any team that is developing software applications for multinational markets, right? What was the biggest challenge that you faced along the path?
I go from an employee to entrepreneur. So that was like huge mind switch. So I think that's the first challenge that every entrepreneur faces at the beginning. And then, there is a lot of challenges.
I'm sure you also had some failures or places where you need to pivot. Could you describe some of those?
There is no failing. There is just learning. And there was like a lot of phase. We were in a lot of situations when we, for example, developed features which no one actually uses, or we had a lot of meetings that didn't move us anywhere. But we are learning every day, and hopefully this experience wasn't a waste of time.
When you move from being an individual developer to founding your company and now having a team, what do you think made you become a good leader of your team?
I think I'm trying to learn how to do that. I'm reading books about that, and I'm trying to apply what I learn. I think there is like a lot of new approaches which are described in like leadership books or books from like other entrepreneurs who did great stuff which we can learn from. So that works for me.
Wonderful. Is there anybody in the language industry that you look up to, that you like to learn from, or who you consider a mentor perhaps?
Yeah, I'm really inspired by David Chanek, who actually started Source a few years ago. I met him a few times, and he is great personally also. So he really inspires me.
If there was a secret sauce to your business success, what would you say that would be?
It's secret, you know, so I shouldn't.
Perhaps there are some lessons that you learned along the path that you would like to share with future entrepreneurs.
Yeah, there is a lot of what we learned. I don't think we cannot like do it in simple answer, like cover everything, because we learn every day. I think what I would recommend to the entrepreneurs is like start to do that and you will learn. So that's how it works. Because starting a startup is like jumping from the building and building an airplane on the way down. So you have to learn. Pretty fast on the way.
What is the most innovative thing that you have done?
I think it's like the autonomous translation, which for some companies can be tool how they can get instant results without involving human translators. That's, I think, the most innovative thing. Before, it was the in-context translating. We actually developed our own SDKs, our own localization libraries, which which can be integrated and which are tied up with the platform. And because of this SDKs, we can extract the context from the applications and provide it to large language models. And with the context, they can provide much reliable results than we were used to before from, for example, Google Translator or other machine translators. So that's pretty innovative.
Jan, what does success mean to you and to your team?
When we develop a tool which will be popular and massively adopted by software developing companies, you would probably consider that success. So something like that. Make a tool which is highly adopted.
Very well. So high market adaptation is something that you focus on. Is there anything else that the team spends their time on?
We are developing new features every day. So that's what we spend most of the time. And yeah, the target is definitely massive adoption. Well, we decided to be open source tool because of that. So really massive adoption is pretty important for us.
How big is your team, Jan?
It's currently 6 people.
But you're a fairly new company. Would you enthusiastically rehire your staff?
Definitely.
To any new young entrepreneur just about to enter the language industry, what kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah, again, it would be just do it, because you never know if it will work or it won't work before you actually try that. So yeah, start with something and probably you will learn or you can fail. But there is no failing, just learning.
Eddie, would you like to take it away with some rapid fire questions?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jan, thank you so much already for the time you've taken with us. These upcoming questions include no politics, no religion, no discrimination, and we'll stay as respectful as possible. But we hope that you can give us very quick answers to, you know, wrap this up and just have a little bit of fun, if you're okay with that.
Okay, let's try that.
Are you a person who works better with background noise or absolute library silence?
Absolutely library silence.
How do you do it, though? Do you put noise canceling headphones?
So the question is about like what I prefer. So I don't like to listen to any music or something. I don't know how anybody can work with that because it's super annoying for me when I have to listen to something.
I will have to agree with that. Now, if you would have to choose music to relax or just be around people, what music would you choose?
Probably something without lyrics, because lyrics make the distraction even worse. But I actually never do that, so I don't know. But probably like I heard that drum and bass is good for that, so maybe good for work because there is no lyrics. So it's kind of like coffee. So maybe that would work.
Name one country you would choose to live in.
Italy.
Give me a movie recommendation.
You know, if it's movie or series, but Project Theranos was pretty good. The documentary was pretty good.
Thank you. I'll check it out. And what's the last business book you read?
Probably Rework by the Jason Fried and David Hanson.
Is strongly recommended for any entrepreneur. I agree with that.
Thank you. Thank you both. And at what time of the day do you get your best work done? Morning, afternoon, night?
Morning.
I love this question. What do people misunderstand about your job the most? Especially family, probably.
Or my relatives or my family thinks that we are some agency developing like software, you know, like for contracts, which we don't do. We are startup with highly scaled product, which is a pretty different story. And it takes time to develop such product and when it scales. So that's the difference.
Thank you. And my last question after this amazing interview, if you had the chance to pick your favorite drink, what would that drink be?
It would be Coke, probably.
Not Coca-Cola. Wow.
Not Coca-Cola. I like Coca-Cola more.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jan, for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you enjoy the time with us as much as we did. And now, if anyone else feels like being part of this amazing series and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us to sit in our hot seat.
This was all, folks. Thank you for watching, and look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSI website.